Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Thanks for joining us on Money FM 89.3. You're with Primetime, Bharati Jagdish with you. Now, President Joe Biden met with Fed Chair Jerome Powell at the White House early today. All of this is part of an effort to sell Americans on a positive view of the economy and to reassure them that leaders are hard at work to slow inflation. Speaking to reporters at the start of the meeting, which also included Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, a former Fed chair, Mr. Biden reiterated that fighting inflation was his top economic priority and that he would not interfere with the Fed as it tried to tame rising prices. Meanwhile, a measure of how U.S. consumers feel about the economy right now has slipped. According to the Conference Board's Consumer Confidence Survey, Americans see the jobs market as not being quite as strong as it was a few months ago. They also have fewer plans to buy cars, homes, appliances, and other big-ticket items because of inflation. All of this really should not come as a surprise. Weaker economic growth also continues to remain a reality. The U.S.'s real GDP decreased at an annual rate of 1.5% in the first quarter of this year. Question is, what's next and how should you recalibrate your investments in this environment? We're joined now by Leonard Eng, Senior Manager of Trade Desk at TD Ameritrade Singapore, and hopefully he can help us out. Hi, Leonard. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Bharati. Nice to be here.
Yeah, great to have you on as well, Leonard, because we really do need to make sense of this as we move forward. It's unlikely that weaker economic growth will alter the Fed's plans for rate hikes next month. However, the Fed's meeting minutes released last week did indicate that a pause to its rate hikes could be on the cards later this year. How are you reading all of this, Leonard, in terms of the impact it could have on the markets in the medium term?
Right. The Fed has to juggle between taming inflation and economic growth. You're right in the statement just now that, yes, demands is a little weaker. But we have to come back to the fundamentals that GDP data that is released is one of many data points that the Fed is going to look at to decide on their next move. If we were to delve deeper into the drivers of that 1.5% contraction, it is actually seeing some minor spending in terms of the consumers as well as business investments. So, in fact, some durable goods increased 0.4% month-on-month, even though there is a downward revision of 0.6% in March. And then combined with the core capital goods orders, a proxy for business investments, that rose 0.3%. Yes, there is a mild growth, but then it is suggesting slight growth in terms of business and consumers in the face of waning, that means the interest rates rising. So although the Fed's mission is to tame inflation, that the rates rising further will depend on the evolving economic outlook. So it's not just a single data point that we are looking at, but we have to really have a wait-and-see attitude in terms of more data points to see what is going to be happening next.
For sure. And I'm sure that markets are already pricing in some of this uncertainty. But the risk of a recession, Leonard, is that still on the cards? A lot of people say, hey, isn't it obvious? Of course it's still on the cards. What do you think?
Right. I think more clarity is needed to see before we can check off the economy as a recession. So even though we see economic growth slowing, but then the nominal income and spending were up in April 0.4 and 0.9% month-to-month respectively, these indicators would suggest that we are in the mid-cycle phase. And if the Fed decides to adopt a tighter monetary policy, it could really introduce more volatility into the financial markets and may also help hasten the end of the mid-cycle.
Now, considering all of this, some economists have been talking about it in the context of the Asia-Pacific region and saying that stagflation is really not a baseline scenario for us here, as economic growth is expected to stay positive thanks to monetary and fiscal stimulus programs in Asia, labor market tightness in Asia, and savings that we made during the pandemic years that are fueling a rebound in domestic demand despite rising prices. What is your view on how all of this may pay out in this region?
Asia, being the factory of the world, will look at something that is the elephant in the room, which is supply chain resilience. So we know that things are happening in China, that the COVID situation isn't that completed. And then there are also like the Singapore situation with regards to the live chicken situation. So in terms of businesses looking for resilient strategies, yes, production is here. The demand, the consumer is pretty strong. But then the elephant in the room needs to be addressed in order to continue the resilience that we see in order to stave off the recession, any points of recession in Asia.
Moving forward, Leonard, what more can be done to mitigate the impact of recession risks and market volatility in this region?
We can see the other obvious point would be inflation. So a lot of the talks around are not just on just inflation itself only, but then we ought to take a look at energy prices. So energy prices at this point, you can see crude oil is still hovering at a very high price of 100 plus, and then that has not come down at all. So if oil is still sustaining at this level, that is going to trickle down into the inflation of the everyday person on the street, including businesses that employ the everyday person. So if that is not reined in terms of inflation, then that might impact a certain portion or certain sectors within the Asian economy.
Mm. Of course, a lot of people in Singapore have talked about whether or not there could be another budget or more stimulus in order to help vulnerable groups in particular and give more targeted help to businesses as well. To what extent do you think this might really be needed at this point?
As of now, I think the latest batch of the CDC vouchers are out. So that I will have to live with the choices with the respective authorities to look into that. But then I would say, broadly speaking, it's still the same. As long as production stays, production is carrying on, and then livelihoods will just continue as per currently.
Mm. Let's talk about how investors should be positioning themselves, Leonard, amid all of this.
Right. So we have the TD Ameritrade has the Investor Movement Index, which is a measure, is a proprietary behavior-based index that we use as a gauge to aggregate investors' positions and activities and measure what they are actually doing to help position in the market. So with that, TD Ameritrade clients in Singapore, we are net buyers in April. So yes, it is a cautious, optimistic outlook that we are just emerging out post-pandemic. There is some light selling in consumer staples, in sectors like materials, healthcare, and utilities, but then the net buys are still pretty consistent. So the global population of TD Ameritrade as well as the Singapore clients, we are still net buyers of equities overall. And then the sectors that we are interested will be the tech sectors. So these are high beta semiconductor names that the Singapore population of the TD Ameritrade clients are net buying. So these will be like NVIDIA, like Advanced Micro Devices, as well as TSMC.
Mm. What sectors would you say we should stay away from during this time?
Right. So as you can compare, the air ticket now is almost like pre-pandemic stage, which is depending on where you want to travel.
Mm.
So you can see, so as it is, the travel sector and its peripheral industries like hotels, resorts, cruises, those are the ones that you want to see that they are actually priced in. So those are the ones that you can take it as a lead indicator to know if there is an end to that sector itself. So at TD Ameritrade, we have clients also that are actually net sellers of American Airlines in April. So that additional color can be also used to augment the pricing in of the travel sector.
Overall, Leonard, what piece of advice would you like to leave our listeners with in terms of how they should navigate these very, very uncertain times?
I would say, as emerging out of the post-pandemic, that means the pandemic world, we are stuck in a cave for 2 years. So I would say cautious optimism is advocated that in terms of investments that you are doing, that you have to really double down on the due diligence, the homework that you need to do before you put in your hard-earned savings over the past 2 years.
Right. Always look at the fundamentals, invest for the long term as well, and diversify. The same old rules, right, Leonard?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Leonard. Leonard Eng, Senior Manager of the Trade Desk at TD Ameritrade Singapore. You stay safe and take care, Leonard.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance.